now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. A month ago, I celebrated my birthday, and as the gift that I got for that day was a Fitbit. Some of you know about that. I have a lot of work to do with it. Well, actually, it's very helpful because it calls to attention the need to walk. It reminds me that as I'm sitting at my desk hour after hour, it's really a pretty good idea if I get up in the course of the day. Pat, that's why you've been seeing me up more often, walking, getting a few steps in, getting the blood circulating and all that before we go on with our work. So healthy kind of thing. Also, I understand there's a certain amount of steps per week or per day that we're supposed to have for our health, and I've been trying to keep to that. When you're on vacation, really hard to do. But again, it helped me kind of keep track and see, oh, that's why you gain the weight on your vacation. Too many calories in, too many less calories going out and being burned. So there's a tracking that takes place. It's been, at this point, it's fun. Somebody in the parish told me they got rid of theirs after a while, though. Too much accountability, I guess. But it fits what I'm thinking about here today in our passage from Ephesians, where Paul has been, over the last couple weeks of passages, emphasizing walking. And he, in his case, is not talking about physical walking. He's talking about our walk, our life in Christ. And I want us to think about that a little bit together and what he's really saying to us. So far in Ephesians, he has appealed to us to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling as followers of Jesus. He's also called us to not walk as the world does, as the Gentiles, is the way it's put. This meaning the world, but rather in accord with the kingdom of which we are now heirs. He tells us to walk in love and to walk as children of the light. There's a lot of emphasis on walking in just the last couple chapters. And today, he says, look carefully then how you walk. So you're to walk these ways, and you're to look carefully how you walk in that. Well, what do you hear when you hear him say, look carefully? If you look closely at the Greek word, it's really talking about walking with accuracy, with precision, deliberate. Many people come to Christ, and they treat that beginning point as if that's all there is. And then they go on their life just like before. That's not what we're called to in Christ. When we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're called to walk in accord with him. And that our target, actually, in walking is to be like him. So when St. Paul is saying walk carefully and walk accurately with precision, he's talking about being mindful of the destiny, the direction you're going, not walking aimlessly. I guess I could get a lot of steps in this way. We'll see at the end of the day what I got here, you know. But that's aimless steps. We're to walk in a way that brings us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't happen just by accident. It happens because we're mindful, we're deliberate, we're subject to him. And it requires a certain mindset. It requires that we be wise, not unwise. And so when Paul unpacks this further, as he talks about walking carefully, he lists out for us three contrasts. So wise as opposed to unwise. Of course, that suggested that we can walk unwisely, doesn't it? Part of what helps us walk with wisdom is to realize the context in which we walk, the terrain, if you will. It's a little bit different walking on level ground as it is going up and down And you know, in our backyard at home, we still have a ton of rocks. I've got to be careful when I go out there. Be careful, Chuck, as you walk in your backyard, because you may not reach your destiny. You may go down. And so, in our spiritual walk through this life, we've got to be mindful of where we're walking. And where are we walking? Well, we're walking in days that are evil. Much of the church forgets that. We think that we're surprised, aren't we? We're surprised when things are rugged in life. Rather, we should be rejoicing when it's going good. Because this is a fallen world. That's the story of the book. And that's where all the hard labor, you know, the weeds and the sweat and the tears and all that came with the fall. And of course, what behind all of that is a spiritual rebellion against God that leads to stuff that's not good. In other words, the world came under the dominion of darkness, the dominion of the evil one. We call him Satan. And he is an entity, a being that's at work in the world, we're told biblically. And he has servants, angels that are at work as well. But every human being, apart from being in personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is in and under that dominion. And that's the world in which we who've come out of that darkness, out of that dominion, into God's kingdom of light, that's the world we still are walking in. We're not in heaven yet. The kingdom of God has entered into the world. It's breaking in, and it will take over when the Lord comes again. But in the meantime, his servants of light are walking in a dark world. And if we're not alert to that, our conformity to Christ will be affected, because our instinct will be to walk in the way of the world. That's what the natural instinct is. So when you're treated with injustice out there, and I trust you have been, I have been, when you're treated with injustice, the way of the world's response is to strike back. But what Paul is saying here, walk carefully. Think about that next step. Is it in accord with what the Lord would have you to do? So walk carefully. Think about the environment in you. Think about the context you're in. Think about what's going on here and what's at work, and then respond accordingly. But do respond, do act, because the time is short. And that's part what he says here. Part of wisdom is being aware of the context that you're in, and it's also being aware that time is short. Make the best use of your time. The word here is redeem the time. And that also suggests that time is lost unless it comes under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is substantially wasting time. Isn't that something to think about that? They're serving themselves. It goes to no end. But we're serving a king, and so we serve purposefully. And when we do that, that redeems the time. And we have to understand that part of the proper understanding of time is that it's short. Lord, teach us to number our days, the psalmist says. And so let's not keep putting it off. Is there something the Lord has been calling you to do? Don't keep putting it off. Act. Redeem the time. Now, when I say this, somebody can be inclined to think that we've got to every moment be doing something active for the kingdom. Actually, rest is important in the kingdom. Who established the Sabbath? The Sabbath rest. The Lord did. Who modeled that? The Lord did. So if you want clarity about what St. Paul is saying in this whole passage and anywhere in Scripture, look to Jesus. He's the destiny. He's the one that clarifies for us what we're called to. So look to him. All right. So, wise rather than unwise. Foolish as opposed to understanding the will of the Lord. We could again here put foolishness in the world as compared to wisdom in the kingdom. Throughout the wisdom literature in the Old Testament, wisdom is typified above all, really, as the Lord himself. He is the embodiment of wisdom. And so to get to know him and his word and what he says, the truth, that gives us wisdom. It comes from him. This is how little boys can be wiser than old men. It happens. You know, in the world we say, well, wisdom comes with experience. Well, you sure hope so. But I promise you, I've seen those where you wonder, right? You have to learn from it. And you have to say, well, what do I learn from this? It's the Lord who tells us what's wise, what's true. He's the one that sheds light on it all. And so that's where then it connects with and understanding the will of the Lord. So foolishness is actually walking in our own wisdom and understanding rather than in what the Lord has to say. And that is so classic for human beings. We instinctively go to what we think and what we presume we know. And we've got it all figured out. Well, if it's inconsistent with what's in this book, then you don't have it figured out. Because this is where the Lord has revealed his character, his purpose in the world, and how we're to live. And if we're apart from that, then we're in foolishness. So again, the emphasis really here is, without him saying it directly, is that in redeeming the time, we're to walk in a way that's in accord with what the Lord has to say in his word. This is not a new concept. It begins really in the very beginning of the book. In fact, I want to give you a couple of examples. You can look at them with me, a couple key passages. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. This is page 123. Don't you like that? In your sanctuary Bibles. Chapter 18 of Leviticus. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. Now, you do know that this word is for us too, correct? Who's the Lord your God? The same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's our God. And so what he says to anybody, really, he says to us. What he says to Israel, to whom we've been grafted onto, he says to us. And so he says this, you shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. Okay, that gives us some perspective on what's being talked about here in walking, right? You shall not do what they do in Egypt where you came from, and you shall not do what they do in Canaan. You need to walk, rather, he goes on to say, you shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. So the context here, beginning and end, is this is the Lord talking. And he's the one that's telling us that we're not to walk in the way of the world. In this case, specifically Egypt and Canaan. For us, it's just the world in general. The way this culture is going is becoming increasingly hostile to the Lord. We're not to walk in accord with that. That is going to bring us into conflict, isn't it? Our objective is not to avoid conflict. We're not to pursue conflict. But we walk in a world that is in conflict. Darkness and light are in conflict with each other. And for you to walk wisely means you need to be alert to that, and that you can't just respond the way the world does, or the way your neighbor does, or the way your country does. You need to look and say, what has the Lord called me to? Which, of course, you need to know what he's called you to, don't you? That's why here at Christ Our King, we emphasize Bible teaching so much. It's not to give you something more to do, but you are called to a certain destiny. You need to know how to get there. That's part of walking wisely. Next passage, Deuteronomy. This is page 197, chapter 10 of Deuteronomy. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways. There's that walk again. To love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Wow. So again, he's reminding us the context of who the Lord is, and we're going to come to that a little bit toward the end of our time this morning. The fear of the Lord, walking in his ways. We'll explore the fear of the Lord again in a little bit. To serve him. So this is giving us a picture of what walking in the Lord is. And what it begins with is a realization, a recognition, a remembrance of who he is. All right, so what Paul's sharing is not really a new concept. He's sharing something that has been passed on through Israel all the way along. And so when he says, walk this way, he's speaking of something that ought to be familiar to the Lord's people. Live your life in according with the word and the purposes of God in your life. All right, back to the letter that he wrote to Ephesus. So, don't be foolish. But know the will, understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise, but wise. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So again, another contrast here. We speak in the church of being filled with the Spirit. You know, at Pentecost, when that first happened, people thought that they were drunk. So it's kind of interesting he uses this analogy. But what he's really saying here is be not under the control of something like alcohol, but be under the control of the Spirit. When somebody says to you, he was filled with grief or with anger or with greed, what does that mean to you? It means that that person is being controlled by that. It's dominating their outlook, their life, the way they react to things. We're to be led by, motivated by, influenced by, yeah, under the influence, we're to be under, but of the Spirit of God. And you cannot live the Christian life effectively without being filled with the Spirit. Every single one of us who is a true believer in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord has the Holy Spirit. Are we all understanding that? When you have come to faith and put your trust in him, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And when you say, yes, Lord, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. In other words, you're initiated into that relationship with him. There's a lot of confusion about baptism in the Spirit. Baptism in the Spirit is not purely just having some experience. It is an objective reality that takes place when we enter into personal relationship with Jesus Christ that can only happen by the work, the baptism, the initiation. That's what baptism is, of the Spirit. But entering into that relationship is birth. When we're born, we're to live. We're not to stay in the cradle. We're to grow if we're to be mature and healthy. And that has to happen by the working, the continued working of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that comes from being filled by the Holy Spirit. And so it's an exhortation from Paul where he says, actually, if you were to take the tense, he's saying, keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's to continue. Keep being filled. So when we look at Acts of the Apostles and the great things that were going on through them, it says, for instance, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, they, or Peter, or Paul. These powerful things happened in their walk in Christ because of the working of the Holy Spirit who filled them up. They weren't doing it on their own power. And too many of us as Christians try to live the Christian life in our own power. Thanks, Lord, I got this. I'm guilty. I mean, I used to kind of wonder, Lord, why isn't more stuff happening? You know, it feels like I'm like the hamster in the wheel. I'm going really fast, but I ain't going nowhere. Why is this? Yeah. I'll let you out of the cage, Chuck, when you let me in you. Oh, you know, when you let me fill you up, let me do it. In other words, let me provide the power. So the power comes from Him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled by that. And the interesting thing, it's one of those paradoxes. When you come under His control is when you're really free. When you come under His control, you're actually able in Him to exercise self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And part of what He's contrasting here, He being Paul, is this wastefulness, the drunkenness. What happens in those cases is you're out of control. And that's what that word debauchery seems to mean. I went back, how many use debauchery regularly? You know, I knew what it meant, at least, but I wanted to confirm it. So I looked it up. It's the habitual and unrestrained, listen to that, unrestrained indulgence of lust and sensuality. But it's beyond that, actually. It encompasses several aspects of unholy living, including but not limited to sexual immorality, drunkenness, crude talk, and generally out-of-control behavior. So let's see what some scripture passages say. That just throws some light onto it for us. Let's see. Well, one is the prodigal son. Remember that story? He's a classic case. He had it made. He left his father. He went and did his own thing. He didn't really need his father. And he went off and he got caught up in debauchery. And what was the end result of that? It was a waste. And he wasted everything. That's what we're talking about here, is that waste. Let's see. Here's from Romans 13:13. Living as we do in broad daylight, let us conduct ourselves becomingly, not indulging in revelry and drunkenness, nor in lust and debauchery, nor in quarreling and jealousy. So you get a sense of what that's about. Yeah, we're called to something different, aren't we? We're called to reflect the light of the kingdom of God, the character of your Christ. And I think, you know, when I've been convicted, sometimes it's when I've stopped. Oh, interesting. Careful how I walk. And asked, can I imagine Jesus doing this? Ooh. Then time out. Right? Because the target for my walking is to become like Jesus. And that's your target. The way to get there is to be mindful, to be deliberate, and to surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I cannot do this without you. What happens with that? Then we speak in tongues and we exercise spiritual gifts and we. What's he focus on here? He focuses on how we relate to each other, really, doesn't he? Look at it. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know what? This whole passage is one sentence. Because it all flows from each other. And so you just, you know, Paul is spilling this out under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is all connected. This flows from this. You have a part to play. You have to determine in your hearts that you're going to walk in the way of the Lord. Are you going to? It needs to be deliberate. And that's for every one of us. I can't walk your life for you. Nobody else can. And so you have to be mindful of the days you have. And you have to be mindful of what the Lord has to say about the world you're in, about how you're to live in it. And then, you know, like Solomon, today we hear, you know, what his heart was, and wisdom was granted to him. And the Lord said, you know, if you walk in the way of your father David, you know, you'll be blessed. And the exhortation there, again, there's that walk. Walk this way. Walk this way. And David, for the most part, did, but then he didn't. And what happened when he didn't? Oh, it was bad. Brought a lot of bad stuff into his life. Was he forgiven? Yes, because he repented. But he'd had those consequences. Solomon, all this wisdom. But he couldn't carry out that wisdom on his own. And when he went his own way, did his own thing, that wisdom mattered for naught. He screwed up his life. And it was a bad witness. And we'll do the same thing unless we have that other part where we say, Lord, fill me up. Walk, help me to walk this way. And that leads to then being centered in his word and being caught up in him. And caught up in him, we address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the heart with your, to the Lord with your heart. So this begins, as you're filled with the Spirit, this is what will be a sign of that flowing through you. Your conversation will be about the Lord, and you'll be edifying each other with the Lord. This is some of the context. Let me share a few passages. If you turn real quickly with me to some of these. Let's go back to Malachi. That's the Old Testament. On my vacation this week, this came up, so it came readily to mind. So we were talking about the Lord and about these things. And this is what the Lord says about that. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi being the last book of the Old Testament. It's page 1021. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. They spoke, it's talking about, they spoke with one another about the Lord whom they feared. Now, let me talk about that a little bit right now. We're talking here about understanding the Lord for who he is. Who is he? Well, one of my answers is he's my best friend. I remember sharing that with the standing committee of the diocese of which I was about to be ordained. And some of the people on that committee were a little shocked. What? God is your best friend? Yes. Because he's made me his friend. Jesus said, no longer do I call you my servants, but friends. Is Jesus your friend? Yes. He's your best friend then. Because there's nobody more faithful, more loving. There's no perfect friend except for him. Thank you, Lord, that you're my friend. But you know what? He's not just my buddy. And sometimes those of us who recognize him as our friend forget that. This is not my buddy here. This is my Lord who's my friend. I need to remember, and you need to remember, his people need to remember that he is the creator of heaven and earth. The power of the Adam comes from him. The power that you see evident in the waves comes from him. And he's able to say, be still. And what do the disciples say? Whoa. That's who we're dealing with. So when we're talking about fear, it doesn't mean fear in terms of, he's going to get me. It's rather, whoa, he's awesome. And because he's awesome, and because he's done this for me, my life then moves in gratitude and in humility before him. And that's what moves me. And the Holy Spirit helps that to happen in my life. And those who fear the Lord this way, the Lord paid attention and heard them, and the book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. And this is what the Lord said in that book of remembrance. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. What's the distinction? It's that person who fears him, but is moved in the fearing of him to do as the psalmist and declare his deeds, to speak it out, which are the things that we're to do with one another. Hallelujah! I will give to the Lord thanks with my whole heart. Great are the deeds of the Lord. We should really be booming that out when we read these. His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever. He makes his marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And on we go. What's the focus of this praise? It's on God and his character and how awesome he is. And that's to be the fruit of our lips. When we're filled with the Spirit, he's on our mind, he's on our heart, he's on our lips as we talk with each other. And we're to spill that out. What's the content of our hymns, our songs of praise, the Psalms? Look at it. It should be that which glorifies the Lord, who is an awesome God. That's why we take the time out to be here the first day of the week. Because he's worthy. And there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue declare that Christ Jesus is Lord. They won't be able to help themselves. His glory is so much. And we get to do it now. All right. Another passage. Colossians. Chapter 3. Oh, Malachi 3. Colossians 3. Interesting. Verse 16. Sometimes, huh? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So what begins? The word of Christ dwelling in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So the picture of this church in Colossae, the picture of the church in New Braunfels ought to be that we're teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Walking, that's what's involved. And as we're walking in the Spirit, then these things happen in our life together. One final passage on this. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24. It's so good, I want to read so much of it, but just go with 24 and 5. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Hear that encouragement? But that's part of what's on our lips as we're talking about the Lord, is we're stirring one up another up to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Notice here that we need to be together to do this. right? If I'm going to speak the word of the Lord into your life, we need to be together. If you're going to speak the word of the Lord into my life, we need to be together. If you're going to encourage me and I'm going to encourage you, if we're going to encourage each other, we need to be together. That's why we suggest strongly getting involved in home groups, getting involved in ministry groups together, getting involved in adult classes or Bible school classes and all that, is to be encouraged in the word together and speak that with each other and live that out and be encouraged. What? All the more as you see the day drawing near. I talked earlier about the time. We need to be mindful of the time. And the time is the Lord is coming. The time is short. Let's be mindful of how we walk. So we do this with psalms, hymns. We speak in each other's life and we're giving thanks to the Lord always and for everything. Now, understand, that doesn't mean we thank the Lord for the thing itself if it's bad. But we thank the Lord that He's sovereign and that all things work together to good for those who love the Lord. So even the bad stuff that happens in my life, instead of focusing on that stuff, focus on the Lord who loves you, and He will bring good out of it. He will touch your life. We've all experienced bad stuff, right? And there's, it's a fallen, broken world. How do we respond to it? No. Thank you, Lord, you've not departed from me. Thank you, Lord, that you can see me through. Thank you, Lord, that you can work this to good. I ask in Jesus' name that you work it to good and that I see you and that I trust you until that becomes fruit that I observe. Are you with me? So it's not for the bad thing itself, but it's knowing that the Lord is sovereign, He loves us, and He can work good in it and through it. Amen. He is the victor, and He gets the final word. All right, and then finally, in our text today, the passage didn't have it, but it flows right from it, because it's part of that same sentence, so it shouldn't have been left out. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when you're walking in the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And again, that reverence word is the same that we'd use for fear. Being mindful of Jesus, that He died on the cross for you, that He died on the cross for your brother and sister, that He humbled Himself under that death, not counting equality with God as something to be a grasp at. Rather, He came as a humble servant for you and me. And if that's what our Lord Jesus does, then that's our attitude to one another. It's not about getting my way, your way, etc. Now, let me speak directly to this, because this gets misunderstood. It doesn't mean that we're all equal in role. Every single one of us is equal in value. Jesus died on the cross for you. Male, female, child, elderly, whatever. Amen? But that does not equal that your role and mine is exactly the same. It doesn't mean that the role of husband and wife is exactly the same. It doesn't mean the role of the child and the parent is exactly the same. It doesn't mean that the role of the slave and the master is the same. Paul rolls right from submitting to one another out of Christ to give these instances. Elsewhere, he says, submit to your leaders. So there's a leadership role within the church. And yet, he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What does that mean? It begins with humility. It begins with the recognition that you are of equal value to the Lord as me. And that He has a call on your life as He does mine. And He speaks to you. And He speaks to me. And He's leading both of us. And He's leading us together. To grow together and to accomplish His purposes. He's given us different roles to do that. But it's all interdependent. The mouth needs the hand that needs the foot. That needs the stomach. That needs the arm. You follow me? the body of Christ. And we submit to each other by fulfilling the role of who we are in Christ in relation to each other. So the body's a great example. My hand is submitting, you know, to the rest of my body by fulfilling its proper function, but not by not thinking more highly of itself than it ought. Well, I'm going to run this show. Are you following what I'm saying? This is not Chuck Tebow making this up. This is the Lord making it up, which means that it's good. That when we follow this, everyone's blessed. Because he wants to bless every one of us. And he wants us to be a source of blessing to the world. And it's what brings unity, and it brings health, and it brings life. Cohesion as we carry out the mission that the Lord has given us. And so all of this, to be subject to one another out of Christ, begins with reverence for him. It's putting Jesus first. Has to be that. And that's true for the leader as well as the follower. It's about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And who gets glorified when we do that? Jesus. And that's the object. That's who we're to walk into, is Jesus. So that's the choice before us, but it's a deliberate choice. So walk in a way that's worthy of the calling you have as followers of Jesus. And don't walk, therefore, as the world does, he goes on to say. And walk in love. And walk as children of light, which means you need to walk deliberately, thoughtfully, mindfully, in this world and in the way of the Holy Spirit. Let that be true of Christ our King Parish and each of us. Amen. Amen. Let it be so. Let's declare our faith in him.